We've been moving through our Mistaken Identity series. We started last week, and we talked about how we are free. Have you ever known a child that looked exactly like their parent did as a kid? How many have ever known someone like that? People talk about that with all kind of funny phrases, right? They say a little mini-me, right? Or they're cut from the same cloth, or no mistake in whose child that is. No DNA test needed. Well, here's a picture of my nephew holding up a picture of my brother. And Jack there, Jack said to his mom, "I really do look like Dada." And you can see the similarities there. Another phrase that we've all heard is that child is the spitting image of their parent. And I looked up where that phrase came from, and it's an old English phrase that means they look just like their parents spit them out. It's kind of funny, right? And what they meant that is that child is literally made of the same substance. And we've been talking about how we are tempted to wrap up our identity in so many other types of things other than what God intended for us, things that change. And last week, we talked about how our identity can often be wrapped up in feelings of being stuck and bound and imprisoned by our past, our upbringing, our status, and our sin. But we learned that if I'm a follower of Jesus, then that's not true. I'm not bound. Because of Jesus, I'm not stuck. I am free. And I can be made new. And when I was born again, God gave me his Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says there is freedom. And freedom begins in our mind as we choose to believe him over our feelings. And it grows as we take small, obedient steps that line up with who we already are in Jesus. My identity is in Christ. And so today we're going to continue this study as we see that as crazy as this sounds, God made us in his spitting image. Way back in the first chapter of the Bible, it tells us that God created everything. Everything that you know, you see, you smell, you touch, you taste, all of it comes from God. He is the source of all things. And let me tell you, God is good at making stuff. Genesis 1:26 talks about this. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And if you read through this creation account, you'll notice that God's referring to himself as us and our. And that's because the Trinity played a part all the way back in the beginning. Father, Son, and Spirit. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. But God set man apart from animals of every kind. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about other parts of creation, but what it does mean is that men and women are special, distinct. Why? Because unlike dogs and horses and elephants, men and women are made in the image of God. God created male and female in his image, and then he gave them the ability to create as well through procreation, to make little mini-me's. And if you don't know how that works, you can ask Mark Rohrbaugh after the service. He'll explain that all to you. But not only does humankind have the ability to create, but we can also be like God in how we can rule and how we can maintain a society. And now, bees have a whole society, but they don't rule continents and countries and things like that. But we have the ability to subdue the land and to cultivate it and to make something out of it. We're like God also in that we are self-aware and that we have a free will and that we have an eternal part of us called the soul, that we can learn knowledge and we can appreciate beauty and humor and music, and we can know right from wrong, and we can love and be deeply known by each other. We're also created to live in fellowship and community with other beings, just like God is within himself. All of us are like God, the spinning image. God breathed life into us. And when God was done, he saw all of this and he sat back and he said, "It is good." So it's no wonder that when a culture and society disconnects itself from God, that people begin to struggle with their identity. Because if we are here on accident, then who you are is just random. And if that's the case, then I guess I can define who I am. And I can let my feelings be my guide, and I can follow all the desires of my heart because we don't answer to anyone. But if that's the case, then who I am also has no purpose, and it has no meaning, and I'm not made for anything. I have no anchor, and anything goes in a world like this. And it's no wonder that our mental health is declining if we aren't living in our created identity, made in the image of God. Instead, we're obsessed with defining who we are and giving ourselves titles and fitting ourselves into groups because we're desperately scared that we don't know who we are. And we go so far that we want people to respect our feelings as if they have so much weight that others should accommodate them despite how it affects them. See, in a world that doubts its creators, it's no wonder that we're confused. But you are created by an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, eternal God. You do have someone to answer to. You do have purpose. You do have a Father in heaven. You are set apart as special from all of creation because you are made in the image of God. And this idea of being made in God's image is not some nice little thought that inspires you. It's important because one day when you retire and you're no longer a teacher or a nurse or an FBI employee or a pastor anymore, that doesn't mean you don't have a purpose. Those things were never your purpose to begin with. And when your kids move away and you're still mom, but it's painfully clear that you're not mommy anymore, that doesn't mean that you don't have a purpose. And when you lose the house, or addiction is ravaging your life, or sin is weighing you down with guilt, the story is not over. Or when your marriage goes sideways, or tragedy strikes and you lose a spouse, that doesn't mean you don't have purpose anymore. You, sir, you, ma'am, were born with purpose, endowed by your Creator with worth and value and gifts and abilities to be used up until the very moment that that breath God breathed into you leaves your lips for the very last time. You have purpose. So whether you're old or young, man or woman, Hispanic, African-American, Asian, Caucasian, you are made in God's image. That's your identity. A child of God, made in his spitting image, out of his substance. In the Ten Commandments given by God in Exodus, the second commandment says that we're not to make any image or any likeness of anything in creation and bow to it. That means no idols. We worship God alone. But over and over throughout history, kings and emperors and rulers commonly made statues of themselves and stamped coins with their picture, demanding that people worship them. And these statues and coins reminded citizens who were far away from the capital who was in charge. And these images were meant to inspire awe and authority. But God doesn't have statues. And God doesn't have coins stamped with his image. He has you. That's your purpose. And the way that you act and talk and carry yourself is meant to show forth his glory, his power, his goodness, the goodness of your king. You were made in his image. So live like it. And this is the only way to fulfill your purpose and satisfy your soul. And you can go out and try to do all the good that you can and be respected and be admired. But if you don't point back to the one that made you in his image, you will not find satisfaction. Augustine confessed to God this. He said, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." You will not fulfill your purpose, your meaning, without glorifying your Father in heaven. And that's where Adam and Eve messed up. Satan tempted them, and that if they would disobey God and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they could be like God. And they took the bait, and they bought the lie. And their perfect garden where they walked with God and fulfilled their purpose came crashing down. They forgot their identity. They thought they knew a better way, and they had new and better ideas. They forgot that they were made in God's image and instead believed that they could play God and be happy. And they thought that gaining independence and freedom by disobeying God would be a positive thing. It would set them free, but instead they felt the sting of sin and guilt and pain and death. And it's all broken ever since then. We're made in God's image, but we aren't God. We submit to the authority of the king. But God is a good king. And despite the sin of Adam and Eve, God promised that very day that what was broken in the garden would one day be fixed. A savior born of the seed of Adam and Eve would crush the head of Satan and extinguish the sting of sin and guilt and pain and death. Jesus is that savior. And to him belongs all glory and majesty and dominion and authority forevermore. We're called to reflect the goodness of Jesus to this world, to point to the cross, shining with the light of the world, like the moon shines from the light of the sun, reflecting to the world that Jesus is Lord. This is your purpose. This is your identity. Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus did this for you. He took on flesh. He took on pain. He had to interact with temptation, and he hungered and he thirsted and he felt sorrow. He did all of this to fix what was broken in the garden. Hannah Anderson says, "When Jesus willingly took on the limits of our human identity and became obedient to the Father, he restored our true identity as image bearers." And once we become Jesus followers and we're born again, the mission is to look more and more like Jesus so that we can look more and more like who God created us to be. You were made in his image, so live like it. Michael Houdman says the good news is that when God redeemed an individual, he begins to restore the original image of God, creating a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That redemption is only available by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior from the sin that separates us from God. Through Christ, we're made new creations in the likeness of God. We submit to God and do the opposite of what Adam and Eve did. And when we do that, we can reverse the curse and begin to look more and more like who God created us to be, the complete and perfect image that God made us. The students are having a superhero night tonight. And if you remember back with like Adam West and old superhero shows where, they were just so funny, and Batman had the same voice and the same height and jawline and eyes as Bruce Wayne, but even his most trusted friends had no idea who was behind the mask. Superman was even worse. He convinced us that simple glasses can change a person's face so much that they make him unrecognizable as Clark Kent. It is funny, though. If I'm ever out with a hat and like sunglasses on, people do not recognize me at all. Happens to me all the time. I have regularly taken my hat off and been like, it's Pastor Phil. Like I'm in a disguise. But each person that has been born since the fall of man does have a secret identity. And it looks so drastically different from who they were that no one would ever recognize them. It's that person underneath that they were created to be. Ephesians calls this putting off the old man, like an old dirty set of clothes, and putting on the new man that God created you to be. C.S. Lewis said, God makes this process happen as we submit to him changing us and making us new. And it looks like this. He says, he will make the feeblest and filthiest of us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot imagine. A bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though, of course, on a smaller scale, his own boundless power and delight and goodness. The process will be long and in parts very painful, but that is what we are in for, nothing less. We're tempted to search for our own identity and to choose it or let our feelings choose it. And untethered to anything, we place our feelings at the center of who we are. And we take temporary titles like our occupation and try and build our whole life on it. Or we take the ever-changing roles of husband and mother and father and wife. And although these are precious, they can't hold the weight of our soul. This isn't the way. You have an identity that was given to you by God. You are his child. You are free and you are made in his image. So remember who's in charge. Obey his word. Bow to his authority. God's way is the best way. Show the world his goodness through your words and actions. And it's okay when big life changes come. But don't despair. All is not lost. You do have value and worth and purpose. As long as the breath he breathed into you is in your lungs, you have a mission. And until then, reflect the greatness of God and goodness of the cross to this fallen world. Put off the old you. Put on the new you. The new that you were made to be. The new that relies on the Holy Spirit and your secret identity that is slowly being revealed day by day will show more and more as you submit to God. Church, you are not an accident, and you are not defined by your past, your feelings, or your titles. You were created to be in the image of God, redeemed by Jesus and filled with his Spirit to reflect his glory until your final breath. So put off the old self, bow to the true King, and live every day as who you really are, a redeemed image bearer, shining the light of Christ into a confused and broken world. You were made in his image, so live like it. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. The worship band comes. We get so wrapped up in these things that we place our identity in. But there's a better way. The way that started all the way back at the beginning. And just like Adam and Eve, God wants to walk with you and talk with you and to spend time and commune with you. And he wants to help you be who you were made to be. It doesn't happen through clenching your fists and your jaw and trying harder. It comes by surrendering more and more to the Holy Spirit. It's not about checking off a list of things to do. It's about allowing God to guide you by spending time with him and letting him search your heart for anything that doesn't look like him, and then letting him chisel it out of your heart. You were made in his image. You do have worth. You do have value. Live in that. No, you're not God, but you were made by God. You're his. And your purpose is to shine the glory of God to this world. And so that's our prayer today. God, anything that distorts your image, God, take it out of me. God, anything that I'm showing to this world that doesn't point back to you, take it out of me. I surrender. I let go. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe today you say, I'm not yet someone that's accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You talked about how Jesus reversed the curse, and I haven't put my faith and trust in him yet and accepted him and called out to him. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can put your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross to save you and to bring you back into relationship with the God that made you. See, sin broke it all, and it put a big gulf between us and God, and Jesus is the bridge. And until you put your faith in Jesus and accept that gift, you can't move forward. That's the first step. And you can call out today from your heart to God, saying, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know because of my sin I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. I put my faith in what you did on the cross to save me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. You can change those words. It's not exactly like that. But you got to know you're a sinner. You got to know Jesus paid the price of your sin and accept the gift of his salvation. Put your faith in Jesus and become a follower of Jesus. You can do that right now. You can do that as we sing. But if you do, I'd love to know about it. If you make that choice once and for all today, write that on your connection card and place it in one of the offering boxes, or message me or email me or whatever you need to do. Let me know that you accepted Jesus, because there's nothing more important than that. Altar's open if you want to come and have your church family pray with you, whether it's something we talked about today about being made in the image of God and living in that, or whether it's a financial problem, a health problem, whatever it may be, and you feel like God's moving in you to come and be prayed over with your church family, you come now.